What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is One Heat Minute.
Drop of a hat, these guys will rock and roll.
What's your name?
Wayne Bro.
Look like gangbangers working the local 7-Eleven. Robbery, homicides, take me out.
Give me all you got!
This and
give me all you got!
I do what I do best. I take scores. You do what you do best. I'm trying to stop guys like me.
A podcast dedicated to all 170 minutes of Michael Mann's LA crime opus Heat, 1 minute at a time. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to One Heat Minute. I'm your host, Blake Howard, and joining me for a very pertinent minute of Michael Mann's 1995 crime opus Heat, the 143rd minute, is Sarah Bartlett. Sarah Bartlett is the suicide prevention project lead for Everymind and Mindframe, and the leader of Mindframe. And I wanted to get Sarah on the show in this specific minute because, unlike other minutes of the show, and for those of you who are listening for the first time, welcome, and long-time listeners of the show, we are going to unpack and discuss the topic of suicide as it is portrayed in this movie. So if you want to forgo listening the rest of the episode, please do. But if you are going to stick it out, please know that Sarah is on hand to provide some resources and information around how you can reach out and contact if you're feeling like these feelings are resonating with you in a particular way and you feel like you need any help whatsoever. She's here. So just before we kick off the whole episode proper, this is not going to be a regular episode of One Heat Minute. I thought that with, 24 years of hindsight, essentially, of us being able to reflect on this movie, it was a great opportunity to get an expert in around suicide prevention, to talk about portrayals of suicide in Heat in this movie, and just in general, and some of our more, refined and sophisticated ways that we approach suicide portrayal in cinema and some of the problematic portrayals that can happen and, the luxury of hindsight in that. So I just want to say extend a very warm welcome to, one of the key experts, one of the rare experts in the field. We've had an Australian Federal Police detective and now we've got an official suicide prevention project lead on the show. Sarah Bartlett, welcome very much to One Heat Minute.
Thank you, Blake. Thanks for having me on the podcast today.
Okay, guys, we're going to dive into a conversation with Sarah, but you guys are going to listen along to the minute just now, as we do every time on the show, and then we're going to come back and talk about it.
Thank you.
Sarah, there it is.
Yes. That's the scene.
That's the scene. So, could you, I might let you start. This is a bit of a strange request coming from a guy doing a podcast about a 24-year-old American film that reached out to you to discuss this. Could you, you know, maybe tell us a little bit about Every Mind and then we can start discussing the scene at hand. I think that might help folks who are listening along on the show.
Sure. So Every Mind is a leading national institute dedicated to the prevention of mental ill health and suicide. We're based up in Newcastle, but we operate nationally. So working right across Australia with a wide range of sectors to help support the prevention of suicide. So Every Mind's program, MindFrame, which is obviously the program that I'm leading, has a real role to play in suicide prevention. MindFrame is funded by the Department of Health and supports safe media reporting and portrayal and communication about suicide, mental ill health, and most recently, alcohol and other drugs. So I would say, before we get into, you know, talking more about the scene and in particular portrayed in the film, I would say that obviously suicide is in real life is a very complex issue. It's highly unlikely to be the outcome of one single cause or factor. And it's a very prominent public health issue. So in Australia, each year we work with the Australian Bureau of Statistics around the causes of death data, which includes suicide data. And so we've got statistics around the data rates across across Australia. So if I can just touch on this briefly to provide a bit of a context for our listeners.
Please do.
Over a five-year period from 2013 to 2017, the average number of suicide deaths per year in Australia was 2,918. So in 2017, our preliminary data showed a total of 3,128 deaths by suicide. And this was broken down with by 2,348 deaths by males and 780 deaths with females. So this equates to an average of 8.5 deaths by suicide in Australia each day.
Wow.
So it is a very significant issue. It's extremely complex. And there's some really strong evidence, I guess, to support the approach that we take to communicating about suicide to ensure that we don't impact vulnerable viewers or audiences. And that's part of the work that MindFrame undertakes across Australia. So for MindFrame, we've been operating in Australia for about 20 years. And we've been working with stage and screen professionals really to focus on having authentic and original portrayals of the issue that are sensitive and accurate. So not perpetuating myths or stereotypes.
Yes.
Or false understandings of the issue. We're really about educating our Australian audiences to be able to understand the complexity of suicide and also to support themselves and those around them that might be having a difficult time and maybe needing to reach out for some support. So getting back to portrayals of suicide in the entertainment media, we know that dramatised portrayals can have a real impact on vulnerable audiences, which can lead to perpetuation of stigma.
Yes.
Which we know that will stop people from actually reaching out and seeking help when they need it. So we've actually got some really strong evidence in Australia and internationally to support the approach that we take. So MindFrame has been working with Professor Jane Perkis and her team at Melbourne University in 2010 and again just recently last year, 2018, to have a look at the evidence around suicide and the entertainment media, and in particular portrayals of suicide across film, television, music and plays. So these critical reviews, which are available on MindFrame's website, have identified 54 studies on suicide portrayals in film, television, music and plays. And what these studies looked at was to assess whether there is a causal link between entertainment and media portrayals of suicide and actual suicide behaviour and thoughts. So what this the critical review found was that more than half of the studies identified suggested that there was actually evidence of harmful imitation of the effect of the suicide portrayals on vulnerable audiences.
Yes.
So I guess we know from the evidence that there is a link. And so really what we're trying to obviously do is reduce impact and risk. So for the entertainment media, MindFrame recommend that they be cautious around portraying suicide, and in particular, being mindful of not glorifying or romanticising the act of suicide or the act of a suicide attempt.
Yes.
And most importantly, to avoid detail of method, which we know when method is provided, means and method, it can have a huge risk on vulnerable people, particularly those who are experiencing suicidal ideation or perhaps have had a past suicide attempt or have lost someone to suicide. So that's a bit about the evidence base and the context around the work of EveryMind, MindFrame, and in particular the evidence around the approach to supporting safe, sensitive, and authentic portrayals of suicide.
And we saw, just to bring it to a completely different text at the moment, we saw, you know, and I think this is where my preliminary awareness of things like MindFrame came up was the recent Netflix series in the last couple of years, 13 Reasons Why. So that was a text that was highly criticized at the time because of a lack of sensitivity and things like that. And I think, you know, I was potentially led down the path of people such as yourself, Sarah, you know, looking into that. And then most recently, obviously, with A Star Is Born, the most recent A Star Is Born with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper, and some really interesting pieces and discussions around sort of, particularly in our region, you know, New Zealand's approach to more specific warnings and guidelines and discussions across, you know, English language countries like Australia and America and the UK around, you know, what our responsibility is based on the studies that you were discussing around, you know, if a film is to portray it, you know, how do we warn people? How do we be safe? And very much to your point around, you know, method and means being very sort of careful on those sorts of things. And it goes back as when you were talking, it's really interesting. I'm like, what's the most, you know, glorifying scene in plays? I hadn't thought about it. It's like Romeo and Juliet. Talk about the quintessential.
Yep.
You said that and I hadn't, it did not even register in my mind. I'm like, that is the most glorified act of love, you know, love as expression of suicide, I think, in the history of literature, perhaps. I'm sorry to laugh about it, but it hadn't even triggered to me until this moment.
Absolutely. So I think, you know, I think to touch on your point about where we've, you know, the evolution, I guess, of portrayals of these issues, I would say, and you know, what's been emerging most recently with international streaming services. So there's a few things just to touch on there is that obviously the way in which Netflix and other streaming services operate, they actually purchase their content once it's been developed. That's my understanding. So what we really need to be doing is actually working in with script writers and producers before the content's obviously finally produced and purchased and being made live to audiences. So and that's something we've been doing here in Australia for the last 20 years. We actually have been running script writing and workshops with producers to actually unpack some of the scenes and the approaches that they're taking to showcasing these issues and the character development. So that's something that, you know, we've been doing here in Australia, but obviously across the world there's very different standards in communication, portrayals and reporting of suicide. What I would say to the credit of Australia is that we have been acknowledged by the World Health Organization as having the gold standard guidelines here in Australia around these issues. So I guess really the challenge is that we need to be working with our international counterparts, those who are producing series such as 13 Reasons Why and big box office productions such as A Star Is Born, to really help work with them to help break down the evidence, apply it and apply these principles that we know work around keeping people safe and at, not at risk of harm.
Well, this is a fascinating topic. And I'm so glad that I get to talk to you about this topic in this film. So could you cast your eyes back now to 1995, you know, obviously about 4 years before things really kicked off in Australia, which is still staggering that we were, you know, on the cutting edge of this sort of review and understanding of this phenomena. But cast your eyes back to 1995, this scene with a young Natalie Portman, this film by Michael Mann, and can you talk a little bit about, you know, some of the things that, you know, let's hypothetically say you look at this scene and what hindsight would say to approach it differently, how hindsight would approach it differently.
Yeah, no, I think first and foremost, I mean, we need to be mindful that, you know, it was good that they were trying to raise the issue and have a conversation about suicide in the first instance, but obviously hindsight tells us, and what we know from the evidence, that we could have done it in a lot more of a safer manner and reduce risk. So I guess my reflections really are around the actual dramatisation of the attempt.
Yes.
So if you're thinking about and looking at that and listening to that dark, gloomy, dramatic music, that is very, very intense. Obviously, for anybody watching that, you know, that really, really leans on people's emotions, and perhaps people, you know, are really delving into this scene and perhaps not prepared for what they're about to see. So I guess that the sound, the dark, gloomy scene, it could be glorifying, it could be romanticising, it could be frightening for people with a lived experience, or perhaps those that aren't travelling so well at the moment. I would also say, obviously, in the scene, without going into explicit detail, it does show the method.
Yes.
While it's not showing it occurring, it does show and identify what has occurred, which, again, you know, if we were to turn our attention to where we're at now with our guidelines, we would be actually really encouraging scriptwriters and producers to not have that sort of scene, that level of explicit detail portrayed in that way. Instead, we'd be working with them to really unpack the importance of having the scene in the first place, and if it was important to be portrayed, how we might do it in a way that's safe and not going to put potential vulnerable audiences at risk.
Yeah, and I think, you know, to your point, it's the you know, if the scene needs to happen and the discovery needs to happen and you know, Vincent Hanna as a character needs to save Lauren in the importance of the script and in the momentum, it's like, well, then how can the entire scene take place from outside the door? You know, how can the entire scene take place where we're hearing things? And obviously it's still gloomy, it's still intense, but potentially, you know, it's how do we hear and imagine the entire scene unfolding if that is the necessity of that, and then and take out some of those more visceral and potentially, you know, problematic portrayals of method and means in that case.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, and also obviously the use of the music, the lighting, the setting, you know, all of those considerations
absolutely.
That, you know, obviously can
it's played for intensity. Like, yeah, let's... Before we even get to the scene, the room is dark, it's dank, it's essentially lit by city lights and what looks like some kind of emergency lighting. The light is red tinged. Then we get into the stark light, which almost looks like a hospital operating theater. The music is the music is actually Elliot Goldenthal is the person who did the score for Michael Mann's 1995 movie, but I'm just jumping back in because I have the specific name of the tracks there. These ones are by Lisa Gerrard. She's a frequent collaborator with Michael Mann. Does these sort of very atmospheric and choral songs that take place in The Insider as well for different reasons. But yeah, to your point, it's prior to even entering the scene, there is the atmosphere of something really dark has happened. And as to your point, it's like if it's essential to tell this you know, on reflection, if we're telling this story 20 years later, and 24 years later, we're remaking it for either television or cinema, we're taking some of these additional things into account.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I think outside of this scene, you know, if you reflect on the movie more broadly, you know, is it an accurate portrayal of people's experience of suicide? Is it an accurate portrayal of the family's emotions? We don't know. It's a very suicide is a very unique, highly complex experience. So I guess the other thing is that we need to be mindful about portrayals that might perpetuate people's myths or misunderstandings about the act of suicide and its impact. So I guess, you know, that's part of the reason why we really encourage script writers and producers to engage with us, and most importantly, engage with the experts that really have a better understanding of suicide. I'm talking about clinicians or those that, you know, are experts in particular fields, such as youth suicide, to really help unpack some of those particular aspects that are, you know, particular to a type of age group or, you know, experience. So I guess it's a very simplistic scene. It's very dark and gloomy. And I guess the other point to make is that on the whole, you know, there's a lack of support for viewers. So obviously in 2019, we now have a real presence of content warnings, so people know what they're in for. They know they can make a choice whether or not to engage with content, whereas obviously back in 1995...
This is just getting slapped with an M rating in Australia, which I believe is... which might be PG-13 in the United States, I think is the essential equivalent. But so as long as you're above, you're not getting any explicit warnings of content until it's a slightly higher rating. You know, you make an interesting point there around clinicians and, you know, the entire character arc, because like you said, it's a deeply complex issue. So if we're framing a character, if we're framing a character throughout the picture who a young woman who, you know, is portrayed to have sort of deep anxiety and is, you know, feeling a sense of abandonment, even outside of the essential, you know, this essential scene, it's perhaps then, you know, if you know that the end game potentially is going to be this portrayal, it's like maybe fact checking and pressure testing every element of that leading up to it. You know, what stereotypes are we portraying around her character, how she's feeling, the different things that are occurring on in her life, and then making this the conclusion, if we like, of this character, and fact checking some of those other things. So like you said, it's not just the portrayal of the act, that's actually the lead up, and then your work with Mindframe and script writers is like, if it is essential, how else are you contextualizing that this was the outcome?
Absolutely. So I guess, you know, there's quite a few things that we can do to make sure that it's, you know, authentic and accurate and really working with script writers in a way so that they can understand the risk factors. And that involves, as we were talking before, bringing in appropriate experts, and that's something Mindframe does here in Australia because we're connected with everybody working in the suicide prevention sector. So I guess if hindsight was to come into play and we had an opportunity to remake this film, we'd be really looking to bring in the key youth support agencies across Australia. So Kids Helpline, Headspace, Reach Out, that have clinicians that really understand and can speak to the complexities of suicide attempts, self-harm for young people, and help actually inform these portrayals to make sure that they're safe. But obviously, I guess going back to my point earlier, is that we probably, you know, if it was something to be produced here in Australia, we wouldn't have a scene such as what was portrayed in Heat.
It's a completely different... And you can sort of, from a pure narrative and shock perspective, you know, it's a completely shocking scene. It's made for that. But I guess, you know, with 25 years worth of hindsight and a little bit more developed understanding of the impacts, it's like, you know, can you have as an effective scene portraying this that completely doesn't show, that is less explicit, obviously. Yeah. So, like, I think... In films even around this time, you know, to talk completely off topic, is like Quentin Tarantino was sort of lauded as a director for Reservoir Dogs for portraying a really horrendous act of violence that happens off screen, and he forces you to imagine it. you know, a few years earlier. And so in this scene, if you do have to have it, again, taking that away from the viewer. Look, Sarah, I think that's, you know, this has been a great conversation for me, and it's a very interesting topic of conversation for all the, I know there's a stack of writers around who write about cinema, culture writers who listen to the show, and definitely who people who are emerging script writers, you know, this is something if you're in Australia or you're around, you know, make it part of your research to sort of engage with these teams, these companies, these services like Mindframe to, you know, to if you feel like you have to have it, it's a great collaborative approach to get these guys on board. Sarah, do you want to just give a shout out for folks, anyone who is having any troubles? I'd really like to use this moment in time with Sarah to sort of shout out some of the resources that are out there.
Yeah, thanks, Blake, and thank you to everyone for listening in. If you are stressed by any of the conversation that we've just had, or if any of the issues resonate with you, please reach out for support. So you've got Lifeline on 13 11 14. For any young people listening in, please reach out if you'd want to Headspace, 1-800-650-8900, where you can go to the Headspace website. And I guess I just wanted to close by saying thank you, Blake, for having me on the show. As you said before, Mindframe's here for anybody producing content or wants to have a conversation about, you know, safe media portrayals of suicide and mental ill health, please reach out. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Look, guys, huge thank you again. I just want to say a huge thank you to Sarah Bartlett from Mindframe and EveryMind. It's been an honour to have you on the show, and I think that one of the things that I can take pride in this show is that, you know, we're reflecting on a piece of art, but I think we, you know, the benefit that we have is, you know, 25 years worth of more sophisticated approaches to content to be able to have these conversations. So I'm, you know, really deeply honoured that you agreed to be part of the show. So thank you. Folks, thank you for listening. I will make sure that in our One Heat Minute website, when I put this up, I'll post some links and some contact details for Sarah and for those other places she spoke about, Lifeline and Headspace, for anyone who needs any assistance in that regard. I just want to say thank you to Garth Franklin for our web design, Mr. Paul Davies for our theme. Thank you again, Sarah, and we'll catch you on another episode of One Heat Minute just around the corner.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.